This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I gotta go shake my tits tonight, y'all.
Oh, I wish.
Collect all the dollars.
If this was my last shit.
Sounds good?
Huh? I'm gonna be at the Long Beach. Mary's in Long Beach. Yeah. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Okay. Let's have some fun, huh?
This beat is sick.
Disco stick? Wow.
That, girl, I took it back.
Wow. I was like a fetus back then, I feel like. I wasn't, but I feel like it. Like I knew nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, I still know nothing. But like back then, I truly knew nothing.
I don't even know who I was.
I know. Lady Gaga didn't either because she was very different back
then. She's not the same person. Mm-mm. No, ma'am.
We're all different people, and that's good for us. It's not a podcast about Lady Gaga, even though that would be a good podcast. This is another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast. It's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Mattoon, and today, to help me help you, we got Vicky Vox in the studio.
Yes! Hi!
Oh my, your energy is perfect.
Good morning!
I wish I could bottle it up and drink it every morning when I don't feel good.
Girl, me too. I don't know where I find it. I usually find it around the crack of noon.
You said that you have to pee, but you're not going to go to the bathroom because it gives you better energy.
Yeah, because...
Which I love.
Because I don't get nervous, so I have to, like, find ways to make myself, like...
You don't ever get nervous?
No, ma'am.
Have you ever got nervous?
At one point. Oh, yeah. When things are, like, a really big deal, I try to act like they're not, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God.
Right.
But then it's gone in 30 seconds because you got to do your job, so...
That's true. I mean, I'm cripplingly nervous all the time, and I still just do the job, but it doesn't go away.
I think that's actually what's happening, and I just tell myself I have to pee. Oh, you see what I'm saying?
I see. A little psychological
right.
trick on
I
yourself.
I psych myself out.
You all listening may know Vicky from the drag parody band DWV or the brand new podcast Doing Great with Vicky Vox.
Yes!
But after a quick internet stalk, I found out that you once had a dream about being chased by a giant squid on land.
Oh my God.
Is this true?
Yes, girl. It was giant and red, and I think I was on a boat. I'm not sure if I was on a boat, but I know the squid was wet.
Oh.
And it was, like, moving under doors, and we were trying to get away from it. I have really wild dreams sometimes.
What do you think, if you had to interpret that, what do you think that might mean? What do you think your subconscious was telling you about?
I don't know. What the hell do squids mean?
I don't know. They got a lot of, like, squiggly thing, little tentacles. I've never seen a squid, apparently.
Like, it was definitely, something. Like, the giant squid, like, pointy tip at the top.
Oh, like, right. That's a squid.
Big old tentacles. It wasn't like octopus, like, round and cute.
Yeah.
No. This mamma jamma was coming for us, and I was afraid that it was going to, like, wrap us in its tentacles and, like, use this little beak to, you know what I mean? Because they have beaks.
They have beaks?
In their mouth. It's
like... I've never seen a picture of a squid.
Wait. Am I making this up? I could be making this up. I'm not even terrified of squids.
Wow, I wonder if that was a stress dream.
You know, it could be, it's possible, but I'm also terrified that what if it was like, okay, bear with me.
I'm ready.
What if it was like parallel universe squid, like that
I'm here.
That was actually happening.
Ooh.
And I like popped in and was like, uh-oh, nope, not the one I want to live. Get me out of here.
Like, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
If every dream we had was a different parallel universe and you could choose which one to stay in every time you went to sleep.
Girl, that would be amazing. This was not fun to stay in, though.
Like, I am out of here immediately.
But I've had similar dreams, like, and usually I know where I am, like, the kind of building. There was one that was in, like, a, I don't know what you would call it, like, a community center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with, like, random rooms and, like, a big basketball court in the middle of the thing. But I was, like, trying to run away from somebody. I have no idea who we were running away from, but, like, once I knew that everybody was safe, I woke up.
Oh, well, that's so nice that you waited until everything was okay before going on with your business. Is everybody cool? Okay, I'm gonna wake up now. This has been enough for me.
It's happened at a water park. This last one I think was on a boat. But I also feel like I was on land because I was so confused as to how the squid could move so fast when it's not in the water.
Right.
It was so fast.
It's moments like those when you could realize that you're dreaming and then it could go into lucid dreaming. Girl, have you ever lucid dreamt before?
Not on purpose, but I really feel like it's a thing.
Oh, my God.
Because I believe in all of that.
Me
I believe
too.
Look, if it's true for somebody, it could be true for you.
1,000,000%. I love lucid dreaming. Oh, my God.
Wait, you do the lucid dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Talk.
I used to... I bought a book once. It was like a field guide to lucid dreaming, and it had tactics and practical, I guess, like steps in order to get you to lucid dream.
Yes.
And there's some that are like, you got to tell yourself, there's a mantra that you say, it's mind awake, body asleep, which sounds like voodoo.
But also makes sense.
Totally.
I need the mind awake and the body asleep.
Exactly. And that's all you're trying to do. You're trying to relax your body enough to be in a dreamlike state, but then your mind's still activated so that you can decide what you want to do. It's just you have more control. I mean, that now that I'm saying it out loud, it's like, oh, I'm so type A and an Aries that I even want to control
Aries.
In my sleep.
Now I get it.
I'm like, more control, more control. Give it to me. Yeah, I am an Aries. What are you?
I'm a Cancer.
What does that mean?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Excuse me.
I love that you cough like Chance the Rapper.
This is like Cancers, you know, they have a tough outer shell,
okay.
But they're just a mushy mess of emotions.
Aww.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the same as Aries.
Right, but Aries power through it, Cancers sit in it.
I see. It's like Aries shower in it and Cancers bathe in it.
Right. Mm. Because they got quick, let's go and then move on. There's something else to be fun and happy when Cancers are like, why can't we just sit here and like feel it for a while?
Ooh, I like that. I think I have a Cancer moon. No, Cancer. What do I have?
Hold on.
I did Megan's chart yesterday because we had a guest stand us up. So we had like all the time that we were sitting here and I was like.
Remind me because I can do like your full readout. I have a program on my laptop.
She's a Libra moon and a Cancer rising.
I'm a Libra moon and a Cancer rising.
I'm trying to remember how it goes. So.
She comes off as Cancer.
Yeah. Cancer is who you show the world.
Ooh, and I got a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
I definitely put that out.
But people will see it as like you're nurturing and. Yeah, like sensitive. People will tell you the wildest stories and you never ask them anything.
Yeah. I love that. That is my shit.
That
okay,
is very
but it's not about me. It's about you. So here we go with a game to get to know you a little bit more.
Uh-oh, I like games, but only if I can win.
You can win this.
Done.
You win by just playing.
Okay, then it's gone. Come on.
This is called Burst the First. It's one round of rapid fire questions, everything from your first job to the first time you cried in public, etc.
Oh, snap.
Whenever I yell stop, you have to explain, elaborate, or tell the full story.
Okay, hold on. Let me pray on this real quick. Okay, go ahead.
Here we go. What was your first job?
Oh, that'd be mowing the lawn and things.
And things. First cell phone.
Oh my gosh, it was a little gold flip phone, like Samsung.
Oh, yeah. Gold though. Nice.
But it, only the bottom flipped down. You remember those?
Like a jaw, like a human jaw.
Yes.
First pet peeve to come to mind.
Oh, I can't see when people lie.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. First kiss location.
In the woods.
Yep, stopping immediately. Were on purpose? Were you in the woods on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, it was like
camping?
It was in middle school. No, so like the neighborhood I lived in had like a little section of woods between houses and things, and it was behind my one friend's house. And me, my friend and our two friends. My first kiss was with a girl. Actually, my real first kiss was in kindergarten on the school bus, and her name was Danielle.
Why was that the real versus the
Because woods? I just remembered. The other one was like I was trying to kiss. The first one was I don't even remember it happening. Oh. I just remember it being a thing.
Kindergarten.
Yes.
Wow.
Her
nice.
Name was Danielle. That was wild.
First major purchase.
Oh, like what? Like a car?
Like whatever you think is major to you. It could be like a bike at 13, but whatever you think is major to you.
It was a Louis bag.
Nice. You're like, that's not really a bike. It's more so a car.
Yes.
First choice in a karaoke book.
Oh, Sex on Fire.
Oh, so good. First internet screen name.
Oh my God, can I really tell you? It was Your Greatness Me. Like URGR, the number 8, NESSME.
Aww.
On AOL, girl.
It was like, was that like an affirmation to you? Or you were.
I don't know. I thought it was brilliant at the time.
And it was. First thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone?
Oh, that. I don't care.
I wish to get there one day. First celebrity crush.
Oh my God, I told everyone it was Jessica Simpson, but it was really Nick Lachey.
I love it, it's just the other one. First concert.
Oh my God, I think it was something like Airplane or something. My parents took me.
Amazing. First scar.
Oh, I remember this. I was a dirt bike accident. I rode a dirt bike.
Dirt bike?
And ripped up my elbows and things, yeah.
Oh my God. First thing you do when you like someone.
Doubt it. Yeah.
The music break there was perfect. First show you binge watched.
Oh, girl. I've been watching so many shows, I couldn't tell you.
First excuse you make when trying to cancel plans.
Oh, there's no excuse. I'm not coming.
I'm not coming. I'm not going. And lastly, the first time you cried in public, if you can remember.
Oh, my God. I cry all the time in public. The first time would probably be sometime in, like, elementary school for being made fun of.
Oh, my God.
But I cry all the time. I'm not afraid to cry in public.
Crying? Somebody sent me the other day a tweet. I mean, I'm always consistently talking about crying and how much I love it. I'm, like, the biggest cry advocate. And somebody tweeted me yesterday an article that was, like, scientists studied that crying can help you get in shape or something like that. And the best time to cry is from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Hold on. There's a time to cry.
I don't know why.
I feel like that's a song. A time to cry.
It's my mantra.
There's a certain time to cry. You know what? I guess it makes sense.
Why? Tell me what your
thought
process
is. Because if you cry at the end of the day, you can let it go.
That's true.
You cry at the beginning of the day, your whole day is ruined.
Ooh.
But it feels really good. Sometimes you ever get that really good cry and it feels like after sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whew.
That is better than sex to me. I mean, maybe I haven't had great sex. Now that I
Girl,
say that.
Girl, we're going to have to talk about some stuff.
But I would choose crying over that. That's why I'm single. Not about me, about you.
You're doing great.
Every time it gets weird, I go this. Focus out, focus out. Okay, should we help someone or should we?
I mean, I like to help people.
Okay.
Should we make them cry? I'm just kidding. I can do that, too.
I like it.
You have the cutest little feet. Look at them little feet.
Really?
Just adorable little toe. Look at them.
That's so nice. My friend used to call them boats. Because they were so big, but they're 7.5s.
Those are not big feet. I used to sell shoes. Those are not big feet.
You used to sell shoes?
Yes.
Where?
At Journeys.
Oh, cool. I used to go to Journeys.
Girl, Journeys was it.
Journeys is shit. Okay, back on track. We are going to help a 17-year-old person in high school.
Okay.
Okay. Here is their question.
Hey, Megan. I'm 17 years old, and I am in high school. Recently, a lot of my friends have started expressing that I make them insecure. I have lost a lot of weight in the past year or so. I used to be severely overweight. I was 35% body fat and had the cholesterol equivalent of a 50-year-old man. But recently I started falling in love with health and fitness and activewear and everything like that. And so anytime I get new activewear, I always want to send them pictures and, like, show them it because, you know, they're my friends. But recently, a lot of the girls I'm friends with have been telling me that I make them insecure and I make them uncomfortable to the point where they say that they don't want to eat when I'm around.
Oh, my God.
And that's the last thing I want, because that's not the way that that really should work. But I don't know. I don't really know how to respond to any of that. So if you could please help me out and tell me what you think I should do about this situation, that would be great. The last thing I want is to make the people I care about the most feel uncomfortable. So I think they're all beautiful, and I think that they're all amazing in their own ways, and I just don't want them comparing themselves to me and thinking that they're lesser than because I'm around. So should I just try to, like, hide what I look like around them and just not talk to them about any of this stuff, or should I just have a conversation with a couple of them and just see what's going on or whatever? I don't know. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, my
God. Wow.
The whole time, Vicky's just nodding her head no. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking so many things.
Yeah.
First of all, get you some new friends.
Yeah. I don't think that this is a good situation.
No.
For people to support you, because that's like conditional support.
Yes.
For them to feel threatened when you're not the top dog.
Support is how can I help, not you make me feel. No.
Mm.
No. You don't make anybody feel any kind of way. They allow themselves to feel a certain way because of their perspective of you.
Right. And of themselves. Like, they're just, it's coming out at you, but it's really based off of their insecurities of having, of themselves. You're not making them feel insecure. They already are. And you're
1,000%.
Just, I guess, inviting it.
It's really hard when, as a big bitch myself, to have other people in your presence who are not secure.
Mm.
Then all of a sudden you make them insecure because you refuse to bow down to their insecurities.
Right.
And that really throws people for a loop, especially in high school. Are you kidding me? High school is like the boiler room, the melting pot, crock pot, pressure cooker. There's the word.
Yeah.
Of like
every cookware.
I couldn't find it. It really is. It's like the pressure cooker of, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All your emotions, everything sit right at the surface, ready to pop, boil over any minute. And girl, you're doing the work. You're taking care of yourself. You're finding your own way. They are not your responsibility and you are not theirs. They can join you along your journey, but you don't have to beg them to come along.
Mm-hmm.
Handle it, girl, because if you're happy, you're doing it right.
Right. I think that I don't love these friends for you, but I definitely don't think that they are having your best interest in mind. And I'm thinking it's going to be hard to find, to like talk to them, but like if they're worth it, definitely having a conversation.
100%.
But if you think that they really aren't there, if there's other things that are behind this, maybe finding somebody else, another group of friends that do really like fitness and activewear, so you can hype each other up in something that you're passionate about.
100%.
And then they're not going to be mean about it because it's you guys are on the journey together.
No, tag me in a photo. You post it on Instagram. You tag me in this photo that you think you look good. I will come through and say, yes, ma'am. Gone with yourself. I'm not going to tell you you might want to sit down. You're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
No, girl, go back to the gym. If you feel great, you're doing great. Come on.
Come on. You need a bunch of friends like that. That's the type of friend
you need.
But also,
we need to address the eating things.
Let's do it.
If your friend is saying, you make me want to not eat, there's something there that, as a friend, if you care about this person, you might want to address and address it right the hell now.
Yeah.
Because that is a very slippery slope to a way of, like, even more pain, and it doesn't actually help.
Yeah, I wonder why that friend said that. Because is it to make our caller feel worse about her progress, or is it—
I wouldn't say that was intentional. That, from what I've noticed in life, that usually stems from, I want to join you on this train. I'm kind of jealous of your success.
Yeah.
I'm envious of your success, and I don't know how else to, one, ask for help, and two, a way out.
Right.
So this is what I know how to do. So I'm going to say that and then kind of one, hope that you lead me a different way, or two, well, I guess that's where we stand. You know what I mean? Like,
if someone said that to you, how would you deal with that? Like, how would you, would you lead them or would you go, let's uncover that, what's going on?
Yeah,
here?
Like, what do we need to talk about? Because I'm not going to have you doing that. We're not going to starve ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to do all this. We're not hurting ourselves to be better. That's not how this is going to work. You can feed yourself great things and be better. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I just think there's so much competition in this dynamic going on.
Well, I mean, it's a high school. Like, right. Everything is a competition. You have to have the grades. You have to have the what's it called? The applications for your colleges, mm-hmm. everything has to be, you have to be the best to get through the next gate that's being kept. You know what I mean? So, of course, there's that inherent competition and everything, but that's not how life is.
I mean, I guess some people do live like life like that after high school, just always yeah. competition-minded. But that's breeding comparison, and that, in my experience, has been the worst part about social media.
Yes,
everything
I agree.
Is just like, the more you compare yourself, the more you're making yourself feel bad.
Completely. It's a downward spiral, because mm-hmm. you never feel enough.
Never.
Ever.
In high school, what got you through tough times like this? Like, did you have a good group of friends, or did you have a good mindset? Or
oh, I had a terrible mindset in high school.
Same.
Excuse me. Terrible. The thing that got me through was counseling.
Mm.
Counseling. I was put on suicide watch in high school. I was on the, what's it called? The mental ward, something.
Right.
In a hospital for like a 3-day watch. Girl, it was rough.
And then what in counseling helped you the most?
It was, there was actually 3 of us that would do like a group counseling moment. In our school. Our school provided it.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was really cool. And we'd had very separate issues, but there were 3 of us that lived very different lives. And we came together like once a week to support each other.
Yeah.
And however we needed, just to like hear each other out, how was this week, and then carry it forward and move on. Like,
yeah.
Help each other.
Just having accountability, I think, would help so much in a situation like this, too. Someone, that's why I'm saying, like, her friends to not be that support group for her. How can she move on like you did if she doesn't have people to talk to in a way that are actually there for her?
Yeah, but we can't expect 17-year-olds.
I know, right.
To like step outside of themselves for a second, because it's so hard just to wake up, go to all your classes, do all your activities, and then also take care of your heart space.
I know.
That's a lot.
I keep forgetting about the age thing. I guess 17 is so, I mean, that's tumultuous.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. The world is changing and you're just trying to get through it.
Right. I'm wondering maybe, I mean, do you ever journal?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I journal all the time.
It's the greatest.
I agree.
I wonder if maybe journaling could help a little bit, even just, I don't know, your feelings on what they said and how it makes you feel. And then I guess by the end of a journaling session, I usually feel better because I kind of have showed my work like a math problem of like,
right.
Let's fix this. Where do I? And then you can even reflect it on yourself and go, oh, I'm thinking crazy here. It's not this
right.
other person. I'm the one that's putting this on myself. Or here's my ego showing up again.
100%. I think journaling's 17.
Probably
it's
doesn't know the difference of ego. Yeah.
Bless your heart, girl. Because you're going to go through it, but you're doing great. So journaling is a really great way to vent
mm-hmm.
without involving another party so that it doesn't come back to you.
Right.
Because
yeah.
when you vent to a friend, it might come back around and there might be some drama between another friend that you was venting about.
Oh, yeah.
So let's put it all in a journal.
I'm consistently scared if I'm ever texting a friend of mine. I'm like, oh, my God, if something happens, if my phone gets hacked or if, like, they get mad or, like, drunk or something and, like, screenshots come out. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, I'm severely effed. If somebody gets a hold of my phone, girl, not only the things that the mess I talk about people, but the pictures I have on my phone, terrible.
I needed to get better at that. Have you ever been in a relationship where someone checked your phone without you?
Oh, hell no.
Good. Okay, good.
No, you're going to back up.
Totally. Some people do that, and it's fine in their relationships. Can you imagine?
That's yeah,
like
no.
The biggest breach of privacy ever. Even if you have nothing to hide, I just feel like that's not good.
No, why do you need to look at my phone?
Why do you need it?
Have I given you a reason to be insecure?
Because
if I, again, this goes back to the same thing we're talking about. If I did something and you feel a way about it, that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with what I did.
Right.
But also if I'm up to no good.
And I constantly am.
You might want to know. Just don't touch my phone.
I hate, if someone touches my phone, I'm not okay. If someone touches my food, I'm also not okay. I think that's a thing from my childhood, but like I have a scarcity mindset.
Do you have
mindset.
Siblings? Is that?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. I'm like, this is mine, but I love sharing on my own volition.
And your own terms. Yes. That's siblings. 100% mm-hmm. siblings, because my siblings, everything is ours.
Right.
But let me say it first.
Let me be nice. Let me act like I want to share.
Right, don't just take it. Although I am the friend that comes in and be like, let's say there's a cup on the counter. Did you need this? Thank you. And like just took it.
I love it.
The asking was as I take it.
Right. It's just time efficient.
What were you going to do if they said no? I was just borrowing it.
I was just borrowing it.
I'm awful like that.
I think we've helped. Do you think we've helped?
I think so, but I feel also that this young lady, person, has a road ahead of her.
In what way?
She needs to figure out what she wants. First and foremost, figure out what do you want. Do you want the friends? Do you want to stay friends with these people? If so, you can find a workaround. If you want to just work on your own happiness, then you just turn your phone off, girl. I used to call them hi bye friends in high school when you would just see them in the hallway. Hey, girl.
Yeah.
Hi bye. On the way to class. Okay, see you later.
Even like you don't even go to that school anymore. You're right. Just like, I'm on the way to class. I cannot hi, bye. Talk.
You can just make everybody a hi bye friend and then not worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. The part that makes me so sad. I mean, a lot of it makes me just feel so much, but the part where she's asking if she should try and hide what she looks like around them or not talk to them about that stuff.
Yeah,
like,
that's an immediate red mm-hmm. flag for me. No, no, no. Are you kidding me? You should be able to be your absolute best and absolute worst self in front of everyone that you love in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't, you should never, especially if you work so hard in order to lose weight or to get happy in your own terms. Why would you hide your happiness with all of that hard work? I talk about therapy all the time, and I don't care because it's like I put so much into that, and I'm so in such a better place.
I mean,
because
you look like you work out too. And what I'm saying is, if you work out the body, why not work out the mind?
That is just start with the mind for sure.
It's all one and the same thing.
It really
is. Same machine. Got to keep it all working.
It's crazy how people think it's separate, because I think I did up until maybe like last year when it's like mind, body, soul. It's like, no, but actually,
it
is mind, body. Body, soul, it's one machine. You're right.
Yeah. But I think we were raised to see it separately.
Yeah.
Like separation of church and state. This is where your emotions are. We cry at home. And then, you know, my family's Italian, Moroccan, and German. We were very ethnic. So when there was a problem, nobody talked about it.
Right.
It's handled. Mm-hmm. But like, what happened? But what happened though?
Right.
So I had to learn, okay, look, we really need to talk about things. Not just run your mouth, but talk about what is the problem.
Absolutely. I think it's better now, because I guess with the influx of people working on themselves and the conversation being grander about inner work mm-hmm. is so good, because I didn't have that when I was growing up.
No.
And crying was a sign of weakness. And even some people now that aren't well versed in crying, that don't welcome it, they think like all tears are sad. But I'm like, have you not seen Hamilton? Like, happy tears are a thing.
It's a real thing.
I love
my crying has changed over the years.
Tell me more.
I noticed last summer? I don't remember, but I was under very intense pressure. And my crying would happen in the shower, but not like I need to get in the shower so I can cry. I would just be minding my business, and then all of a sudden it would just like rush to my face. And it would be like really brief though. It would be like,
it's like a sneeze.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay. Which, you know, can happen if like what I've processed in my head is if like the energy is trapped somewhere in your body and like you're doing the work to release it. And then all of a sudden, like that little knot of pain and hurt or whatever it is bubbles to the surface. And instead of like focusing on it, I just kind of was like, okay, I'm crying now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I'm not.
And we're moving on.
Yeah.
I love that so much. I wish I could cry every single day. Just because I feel like it does release
does.
There's chemicals in it. You need to get it out of you. Crying is great. I think on that note, we can take a break. Everyone squeeze in a quick cry while we take a break, and Vicky gives us an extra piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, girl, let's talk about some nothing, Simone.
I want that to be the soundbite to all my podcasts. I think it wraps it up pretty well. It's like a bunch of nothing and then really deep stuff at the same time.
Sounds like my life.
Same. It's the way, the only way I want to live. Okay, we're back, if you couldn't tell. But before we get into the next segment, I want to know what you're obsessed with right now. If you have something in your life that you think everyone else should know because you're like, this has changed me.
There's so much. I don't even know where to begin on that one. Because right now I'm like currently obsessed with researching and like lectures and like really boring stuff that I used to find really boring. But now in my life, I'm like, this is exciting because it's all about ancient histories.
Ooh.
Yes. Like, okay. Like Atlantis and how it's not actually a myth at all. It is legitimately somewhere that existed on this earth and ruled kingdoms and passed knowledge down from like civilizations from, what's it called? In like the Mayan culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Aztecs, who were actually in North America as well. And then it's a lot of the same imagery and symbolism all transfers over and is equatable to Egyptian
right.
mythology and all of this. And, like, that all comes from this. That and, girl, I'm really into it.
I love it.
So into it. And, like, it all connects with aliens.
Oh, my God. Tell me more. I love alien talk.
Well, first of all, it started when I was, like, so interested in the pyramids.
Okay.
Because why are all these pyramids?
Yeah, why?
All over the earth.
Why are they?
They're covered by grass and trees in China, but there's pyramids in China. We have them in South America. There are pyramids in the United States.
What if every mountain was just a pyramid and drag?
That's what I thought about as a kid. I swear to God. When I was a kid, well, first of all, I thought they were like sleeping gods when I was a kid.
Mountains?
Yeah, because my dad told me that speed bumps were sleeping policemen.
Did your dad run over a policeman?
It's possible.
That's so cute.
But as a kid, I thought that's what speed bumps were. So I thought that's what mountains were. We're just like, oh, duh, that's sleeping god. Like,
oh, my God, that's so cute. Okay, so how does it go in with aliens?
Well, this is so wild. But it's, if somebody believes it, it's a real thing.
Okay.
So you have like, I don't remember, is it Greek or Roman? There's Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then so you have the Hermetic traditions, which is all about basically magic sciences, and it's the science before we had like the science we have today.
Mm.
So it taught how to turn, well, they say how to turn lead into gold,
okay.
Which is not a real thing, but that's also the metaphor for turning like the gross human body into the light of the spirit. And that was passed down, like Hermes was Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, in Egypt.
Oh, it's like a mixed up thought.
Yes, that's what I said.
Are we the same person?
Girl, we might be, girl. We might be, though. So Thoth has, like, these emerald tablets, of which are also in the Hermetic tradition. It's, like, the fountain of youth, the fountain of life is, like, the emerald something or other. Oh, girl, I can't keep all my facts together. I'm not that person. I drink too much for that. But I will tell you that Toth is the one that has, like, all of these, the information. He is the giver of wisdom in that certain cosmology and theology and all of that. Well, on the, because I read it, like, I read the tablets, girl, and it says.
I read the tablets, girl.
I read the tablets.
That's my favorite sentence.
Underneath the where the Sphinx is, it says in the green, the emerald tablets, you can find it on the YouTubes, on the internets. It says that there is a spacecraft, and we are children of the space of the stars. We are Stardust Children.
Cute.
Yes.
My new screen name, Stardust Children.
We are Stardust Children, and there is a spacecraft underneath where the Great Pyramid is.
Has anyone tried to go find it?
The thing is, we will see it when it is time. It's like the whole, like, Revelation, like, Book of Revelation situation.
Whoa, it's like Judgment Day.
Girl, yes,
God comes back. Wow.
Yeah, but also that, see, I'm telling you, I'm obsessed with all of this stuff.
I love that.
It's insane.
Oh, I can't wait to have a new hobby and just put all of my life
it
into also figuring that
a
out.
A rabbit hole. But along with all of that comes with, like, the taking care of yourself, the, like, inner emotional journey that you need to figure out, and you need to do your shadow work, figure out why problems are happening in your life because you're not right with something.
Yeah.
And it's the taking responsibility for yourself, which is in most religions to, like, let's say you're Catholic. You got to talk to God, and you have to go say, I did this wrong. But there's not the other part of it that says, but why are you doing this wrong?
Right. It goes, hey, say five Hail Marys on your knees.
Right. But that's not going to fix anything. That's just going to, you know, absolve you from the BS that you already did.
Right.
Not going to stop you from doing it in the future. But when I've come to, like, find out this other stuff about these ancient, like, things, is that we have to purify ourselves. And that sounds really heady and, like, self-righteous. But I mean...
Does it? I mean, I'm super on board.
And I don't mean purify as in, like, back to virgin status or, like, make perfect. I mean...
I'm almost there.
Get rid of the stuff that, like, we don't realize we are placing in front of us as obstacles.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
We're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in our mind so much. You mentioned shadow work. For the people that don't know that terminology, can you explain a little bit more?
Yeah, it's basically realizing that your world is a reflection of you. Mm-hmm. So if something seems dark, it is because there is a part of you that is also dark and hurting. And that's the easiest way to explain it. And to, like, recognize that and honor it, that it's not there to hurt you. It's there to guide you away from what hurt you onto the path to what will not hurt you. But it always seems like, oh, this is so painful. And then we sit there and then bring about more of it instead of, like, thanking it and going, oh, so all this trauma broke me down so that I could receive greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know that we have these walls that we built, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Until they're broken and we go, oh!
Right.
But then we, right at that, like, moment where you're like, I almost want to give up. And then you turn around and go, oh, I could also do that.
Right. Oh, there's another option of not doing that.
That you would not have seen if you didn't feel broken.
I know. Sometimes for a couple years, I mean, I'm probably still dealing with this too, but, like, we no matter how amazing your parents are, you develop childhood traumas. That's
100%.
Just a fact. And I think with mine, I had been playing the victim card so much that it was just normal. So, like, with all my traumas, it broke me. But instead of choosing that other option, I would just be like, this is the reason why I'm like this. And that's not doing all of the work. It's just naming the problem instead of going, here's the problem. Now let's work on it to find the solution. It was just like, I'm this way because I was hurt as a kid in X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, what are you going to do about it now?
Right. Okay.
Right. Like, you've done the first part.
Right. Go. You asked me a question. What's one of your pet peeves? This is one of my pet peeves when somebody goes, well, this is how I grew up. Okay. Great. So you grew up, but you're going to stop growing?
Right. Like, growing up does not mean you're done growing.
You got to keep growing, girl.
Yes. Like, you can always grow up from wherever you are.
And just like a tree, sometimes you got to shake your leaves.
I love it.
Let it go. Let it go. Drop it. It's not serving you anymore.
Right.
Next season.
Absolutely.
Make some new leaves.
Absolutely. Make some new leaves. That's, oh my God. I wish I had this conversation when I was 20.
You wouldn't have heard it.
You're right. That sucks.
And I
so
don't even
much.
Mean I don't even mean that as a judgment.
No,
I
just, totally.
That is a fact. You wouldn't have hurt, like it wouldn't have sank
You're
into
right.
your body the same way.
The older I get, the more cliches mean more to me.
1,000%. And like, that's wow, what I was talking about with those tablets, girl. You read those tablets and it's like, what the hell is this? And then the longer you sit with it and then you hear it or read it again, you go, oh. So when God was saying that there's like, even in the Bible, I look at stories and see them completely different now. Mm. Completely different now. Like when Jesus gave everybody fish and bread, he gave of himself. God gave of himself unconditionally for whoever was in front of him. It wasn't just like, let me feed y'all because you're hungry.
Yeah.
No. Let me feed y'all because I love you and I do not wish to see you struggle.
Right.
Do you know, like, there's so much more behind everything that's happening.
Yeah.
The same way that, like, you and I are having a great conversation today. But sometimes we don't always have great conversations with people. And you have no idea what that other person's story is and everything that came into their life before you showed up and all of a sudden they have a shit day.
Right. I think about that all the time of like even people are walking on the street or in traffic next to me. I'm like, this person had 28 years of whatever they're going through and they have their own set of childhood traumas, they have their own set of beliefs, they have their own stresses and worries, and they have one person that they would like die to be able to see again. And I just look at them in the corner of my eye and it's like our paths are crossing for 2 seconds
right.
and we have our complete separate storylines and they merge for a millisecond, and then we're going our own ways again. And we'll, like,
it's
never
so
know the whole story.
Never.
It's crazy.
I love it, though.
I love it, too. I'm like, oh, my God, everyone. I think about life in, like, a movie sometimes. I'm like, you're your protagonist in your movie, and then I'm mine, and all these other people are extras in our movies, and our storylines match for 2 seconds. And then
2 seconds.
It's
like, when think back to Friends, when everybody came to their parties, we never saw any of the people that came to the parties of the friends of Friends.
Right.
We only ever saw the friends. All those other people have lives.
Right. And they have their own parties.
And they don't work at Central Park.
Yeah. Right.
They have their own parties, their own everything. It's really wild.
Everyone could have a spinoff. you never know.
Girl, I'm going to cross my fingers on that one. Let me catch a spinoff real quick.
Just a quick Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay. We have some more time for me to ask more questions to you personally. I have questions written down, but now I just want to ask different ones because I think it's so fast. First of all, I really love your energy. I must
Thank
just
you.
Say that. it's not often that you find, especially in LA, find people that feel good and open. And
Ooh, true.
Yeah. So I just want to say that because it's special.
Well, I received that. Thank you.
Ooh, I love saying I received
Girl, I'm really trying to work on taking compliments. It's so hard.
You're killing it. You're doing great.
Yes.
The tagline.
There it is.
Okay, I want to ask a question because I don't know much about the drag world.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, all I know about it is that I couldn't do it because I'm too sensitive. Because like when you're like roasting people and that's like part of it.
Yes.
I don't think I could handle it.
Well, actually, that's exactly why we roast people. We can bring it back to high school days, like we were talking about earlier. Because it was so hard, one of the defense mechanisms was, I'm going to get you before you get me.
Mm.
I'm going to have a slick mouth and cut you down to size and myself so that we're all on an even playing field. Because, you know, you got to have the weapons, sharpen your skills.
Wow. That's every time I see it, I'm like, oh my God, I am wanting to shave my bones off because I'm just like, I could not do this.
It's wild. I will say that like my drag family, like the people that I associate most with in drag, we have been some of the cruelest people to each other. But it's also because like we have to be able to take it. I need to know that like when push comes to shove that you can stand up next to me and handle your own.
Mm.
So if you can't, I'm a lash out right now and see what you're made of.
Right.
But I also don't like how toxic that was. But it kind of needed to happen because I wouldn't have survived otherwise. Because imagine three queens dressed up in high whore drag,
mm-hmm.
looking crazy, walking down the street. Bottles were thrown out of cars at us and right. like all kinds of slurs and things. So you need to know that whoever your homies are, whoever you're rolling with, that they can handle it.
Oh, right, right,
if
right.
If that makes sense. So when we get on stage, what you see is just a portion of like how hard life is. But I think anybody that has had a hard life is hysterical because you have to find a way, a humor through it. Like, when you get on the other side, you can go, remember when that happened?
Totally. Everything is funny eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
Eventually, but not in the moment, girl.
Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God. Which is, I wish I knew that when bad things are happening. I'm like, this is going to be funny soon.
Yeah.
And then it's like a little, like, light at the end of the tunnel. Oh,
completely. But you can't see it when you're going through it. I will say, for me, drag is, like, what saved me. Drag saved me because I really thought I had to play by the rules, and I tried to play by the rules. And the minute I put a wig on, some lipstick on, girl, it was like, forget them rules.
Yeah.
I'm going to do exactly what I want, how I want, using women, mostly black women, that, like, I saw as nobody could hold them down. You know, everybody tried, but can nobody hold a black woman down? So, you know, take the strength and turn that into what is your superpower. And then give that to other people. So, like, on stage is me giving it to other people.
Yeah. When was the first time that you wanted to try drag?
I never wanted to do drag.
Oh. Oh, my. Love that.
Well, I mean, I guess there was... Okay, so I was at a bar once, and I looked at a queen on stage, and I said, girl, I can do that.
Yes! You're just proving it.
And maybe, like, a year later, one thing led to another, and I ended up working in drag and have not stopped working since.
Incredible. What do you think one thing is that you learned from the drag world that that has helped you internally? Does that make sense? Like, something that maybe it was like an experience or a mindset, or I don't know if there's rules or anything like that. But
I mean, there's rules, but not really. I would say for me, the one thing that, like, I've taken from drag and put it in everyday life is that everything is drag. Like, the moment you wake up, you're putting yourself together the way that you want the world to see you.
Mm.
You're choosing your persona. But you don't realize it because you've been, like, indoctrinated to believe that this is who you are, when at any moment you can change that. Like, you can decide right now. Let's say your whole life you've loved vanilla ice cream. You can stop right now and go, I don't want that anymore. I'm lactose intolerant.
Like, totally.
You can convince yourself that you're lactose intolerant, or just choose not to because you don't want to, and then switch your head around. I mean, I'm not making fun of people that are actually lactose intolerant and it's a huge problem for them. I'm understanding. I'm just saying you can stop, look at your life and go, is this what I want to do? And then look the other way and go, nope, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then make that who you are.
That's
I just do it in 45 minutes and put it on stage and then take it all off.
Right. Oh, I love that.
I feel like our soul does that when we step into this life, and then when we take it all off, when we go back to God.
Right. Oh, my God. I'm, like, melting into this chair.
You didn't think it was going to go there?
I'm very here for it. Oh, my God. I feel like that's something that it's not at the top of my mind all the time, because it's like working so hard and doing all the things that we were taught to do when we were younger.
Right.
Making our careers successful in the eyes of our parents.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, this has been working for so long and this is who I am and this is my identity. Exactly what you're saying. But at any point I could go, I just want to not do entertainment anymore and then live on a farm. I wouldn't want to.
I think that every day, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, I want to go have, like, a rescue ranch. With just a bunch of rescue animals and me with, like, a cup of coffee in the mornings.
And it's possible. Like, any point in time, we could do that. That's so cool to know.
Change your name, everything.
I heard changing your name is really a pain in the ass.
I mean, legally, but you can call yourself whatever you want.
You can just change your status online.
I read when I was first picking out my drag name that calligraphers, when they study the art of calligraphy, I think it was Japanese, to be very honest, this is what the story is. Once they've learned everything and mastered their craft, they then choose their artist name. And that's what they go by for the rest of their life. So, like, after they've passed through and, like, learned all their lessons, I'm no longer who I was, and this is who I am.
I love that, because when we're born, our parents give us our name. Like, so many people don't look like a Rachel or don't act like a Julie, but it's like, feel like after, I mean, I do think everyone can be a Nicole. Like, I think every single person in this world
could be a Nicole.
Like, Nicole is such a, like, an umbrella name that, like, if you know any Nicoles, I'm sure they look so different. They are so different, but everybody.
But they make sense as a Nicole.
Yeah. And if not, their middle name could be Nicole. It's such a blank name. I feel so bad. My sister's name is Nicole. I'm not saying it's a blank name. I'm saying it's a blanket name that could fit. It's the most inclusive name is Nicole.
Nicole. Like, I've never thought about
anyone
it.
Anyone could be
but
Nicole.
But now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, yeah.
Like, think of every person in your life and just say, that's Nicole.
Well, I mean, my sister could be a Nicole, too. I don't know. My mom is Joyce, and she is a Joyce through and through. She is not a Nicole. My mom is definitely a Joyce.
Joyce Nicole. How's that?
I'll let you have it.
But Joyce I do Nicole. Think after, I wouldn't say 18, I think everyone should be able to change their name, or everyone should have to change their name at 25. Because I think after that.
Yeah, you're not the same little 3-year-old. Like,
it's you're not. And you have your own set of everythings, and you can change, you can be who you want to be. If I changed my name, I'd be Orion, probably.
Right. Some people don't even, because actually, as soon as you said that I had to pause, I forgot what I was thinking about because I totally saw you as Orion.
Cool.
I was like, oh yeah, actually, you do remind me of this other Orion I know.
But back to picking your names after you get through all of the work. Why Vicky Vox?
Oh, got that. Okay, so Vicky is the classiest, trashiest name I could think of. Like, Victoria is very rich, very bougie. But Vicky, she might have a double wide. And then you have Vox, which is Latin for voice. And I would like to run my mouth and sing and stuff. So that's where the name came from.
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean, there were a lot of names. There was Donatella Soul.
Nice.
There was Cindy Whopper.
Love it.
Elise Taone. There was a bunch of them in there, but Vicky Vox is the one that stuck.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect name. Is there like a drag name generator online, you think?
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Okay, I'm just going to quickly find mine. Drag name generator.
I mean, some of the best ones are really punny, but some of them are just like, you know, Crystal Chandelier is always a go-to. It's really just like a stripper name.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, defining your drag name, you have to tell them your generation. That's interesting. It says greatest generation. Before 1946, it's called greatest generation. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Then there's baby boomers, Generation X, Millennial, and Generation.
Hold on, but why are they the greatest generation? I need to talk to somebody. Yeah. Oh, because they fought in World War I and World War II. Oh, fuck them. I'm just kidding.
Oh, they're asking my language. They're asking me so many. This is a whole BuzzFeed quiz. I just want to know what my name is.
Oh, it's going to do it for you?
Yeah, but like, I want to put my name in and just get it back. But I don't think that's an option.
You could just make up a name.
How do I do that?
Well, what are you into? It's usually like, girl, you could be Justin Tip.
I love it.
Justin Tip.
There's nothing else to say. That's perfect. Oh, my God. On that note, I'm going to end my talking, but I'm going to ask you one final question. Because you have killed it just now. What is one piece of advice you would give your younger self?
Oh, that's kind of heavy. One piece of advice. Trust yourself more. 1,000% trust yourself more. Because I let other people tell me who I was for so long. And if I would have just listened to myself, I knew. But like I turned it into an attitude problem. I could have just gracefully, peacefully trusted myself and gone about my business.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for being here and having such a great conversation. Where can people find you on the internet? Your podcast has just come out.
Yes, that's going to be on the Stitchers, on the Earwolf has it, on Stitchers, iTunes, anywhere you can find a podcast. Doing Great is going to be out, and you're going to get it, and you're going to have it, and it's going to be great. Also, I am The Vicky Vox on all social media. That's TheVicyVox. The Vicky Vox. You're welcome.
If you have a sticky situation or burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. You give us your age and we'll do a pretty damn good job as we did today. See you next week on Justin Tip. Thank you for my name.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.